You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's own people. In order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Peter is describing God as architect, Christ as cornerstone, Holy Spirit as builder. The architect has a perfect plan and design. Christ is the only solid foundation. His death and resurrection, the stone that puts it all together. And we are being built on that foundation. Built into a spiritual house, Scripture says, by the Word and Spirit. Peter is mixing metaphors in our text. The building campaign, light and darkness, and milk. Peter assumes that we have had a taste for God's goodness. Scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. But Peter encourages us to let that taste tantalize us, he says, so that we would hunger for more. Like a newborn infant, our hunger should create a longing for growth together. Have you ever seen, or more accurately, heard a newborn crying out for milk? They do not do so patiently, putting their request in a suggestion box. They don't just ask for milk, they demand for milk. Now, they have a strong sense of urgency for that milk. And so we should yearn for the rich, satisfying, and nutritious Word of God. It reminds me of the foreigners who asked the disciples, "Sirs, we wish to see Jesus," or the hymn line, "Foul, I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die." Or as a deer pants for flowing streams of water, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord. Or the scripture that says, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. So we long for the milk of God's word. If Peter can mix metaphors, I'd like to as well. Milk is food and drink. It has all the nutrients that we need, but it also keeps a child hydrated. It is all the fuel we need to do the work of building Christ's church. Our hunger and thirst for Scripture unites us into one place, one purpose, by one strength. It is that mortar that binds us together as living stones. And sometimes we occasionally need tuck pointing. And so the Word of God and the Spirit of God get in there between the crevices to strengthen our bonds and strengthen our integrity. Peter also talks about stumbling over said stones, particularly this cornerstone, Jesus Christ. We can either build wisely and securely on Him, or we can stub our toes and trip over Him, Peter warns. The foundation stone is the person, the work, the teaching, the healing, the death and resurrection of Jesus. By taking our nutrients from the Word, from the milk of God, this is the nursery school of the faith. The life and death and resurrection of Jesus. Peter warns us not to be tripped up over it. That is, to fail to understand who He is, as He explained in the Gospel, that He is in the Father, and the Father is in him. He is fully divine, he is God, and he is also human. Our minds cannot fully grasp the truth of this, and so it can trip us up. This cornerstone taught us the fullness of what it means to love God with our whole being and to love one another as he loved us. He came to give his life on the cross and rise again for our forgiveness and purchase a place for us in heaven. To trust Jesus is to build on this foundation stone who is Christ, and he is the focal point of our faith. This is the one who says to us, believe in God, trust in God, believe and trust in me. He's building his holy house in heaven and on earth. When Jesus says there are many rooms, he is building them not only in heaven, but his kingdom here on earth. Peter wants to draw us into this house, into this vision of what God is doing. He wants to win us to become participants as well as benefactors. And so he not only wants to elevate our understanding of God's word and the word made flesh, Jesus, he wants to elevate our understanding of ourselves. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God chooses you. He has chosen you and me. He has called us. He draws us to himself as helpless newborns and are immediately given a craving and the satisfying milk of the word. We are adopted into God's royal family. We enjoy the priesthood of all believers. We have been set apart for purpose, for we are the people of God. We have been called out of darkness into his light, and so through word and deed, we get to proclaim the mighty acts of God. And what God has done for us, he wants to do through us as well. We crave and nourish one another on the milk. We build upon the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, and we reach out to the world. We're back in nursery school. Sinclair Ferguson, a Scottish pastor, told a group of pastors a few years ago about the day when he met Queen Elizabeth. He was pastoring a church in Glasgow, Scotland. The Queen flew in with her two young grandsons at the time, William and Harry, who were about 6 and 4 years old, respectively. When the Queen landed with her two young princes, Pastor Ferguson was at the front of the line to receive them. The cameras and the microphones were much longer and further down the line, and they did not capture what happened next. Queen Elizabeth turned around, stooped over, put her index finger into the breastbone of each of those young boys and said, "Royal children, royal manners." She did not say, "Obey me and I will love you." Nor did she say, "Don't embarrass me in Scotland." She said, "Royal children, royal manners." In other words, you, dear children, are royalty. Remember that. Be who you were born to be. Live out your calling. Let your behavior be a reflection of who you truly are. You, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own possession, God's people, called out called forward into the world to proclaim the mighty acts of Christ, the cornerstone, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.